It was exactly 3 p.m. yesterday afternoon when the family of Martin Luther King Jr. rang a bell to echo King's call 50 years earlier to let freedom ring. It's the same bell that once hung in the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, before the church was bombed in 1963. The gathering was one rich in history and symbolism. Tens of thousands of Americans of all backgrounds and colors stood together, shoulder to shoulder, at the National Mall in Washington. They joined with civil rights leaders to mark the 50th anniversary of King's I Have a Dream speech. Actor and activist, UNESCO Peace Ambassador Forrest Whitaker stood proud in the footsteps of those who came before.
We've all seen images from those days of the civil rights movement. Pictures of segregated water fountains, public waiting rooms, movie theaters. And in those amazing photos, I've always been drawn to the men, women, and children who were the silent heroes. Many remain nameless, but their heroic faces captured the portraits of the past to remind us of their sacrifice. They risked their lives, working tirelessly to bring about change. Today, I want to celebrate those nameless individuals as we reflect on the last 50 years. And in doing so, I want you to recognize the hero that exists inside yourselves. To understand that every step you take around an unknown corner marks your bravery. When we overcome life's hurdles, when we face and conquer our fears, when we help others become their better selves, we are committing small acts of heroism. And if I were to take a picture of this crowd right now, people would see some of your faces in the movements that are starting today. This is your moment to join those silent heroes of the past, individuals who stood in the very spot where you stand today. You now have the responsibility to carry the torch. As we gather here at the foot of the Lincoln Memorial, as hundreds of thousands did on this day 50 years ago,
Oprah Winfrey excitedly took the podium and she spoke about the impact of Martin Luther King on the nation.
We're hoping that it's a time for all of us to reflect on not only the progress that has been made, and we've made a lot, but on what we have accomplished and also on the work that still remains before us. It's an opportunity today to recall where we once were in this nation. And to think about that young man with 34 years old stood up here and was able to force an entire country to wake up, to look at itself, and to eventually change. And as we, the people, continue to honor the dream of a man and a movement, a man who in his short life saw suffering and injustice and refuse to look the other way. We can be inspired, and we too can be courageous by continuing to walk in the footsteps of the path that he forged. And as the bells toll today at 3, let us ask ourselves, how will the dream live on in me, in you, in all of us? As the bells toll, let us remind ourselves, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. As the bells toll, we commit to a life of service, because Dr. King, one of my favorite quotes from him is, not everybody can be famous, but everybody can be great, because greatness is determined by service. So we ask ourselves, what are we doing for others to lift others up? And as the bells toll, we must recommit to that the love that abides and connects each of us to shine through and let freedom ring.
Then it was the King family, King's sister, his daughter, and his son, Martin Luther King III, who addressed the huge gathering.
Dad said the ultimate measure of a human being is where one stands, not in times of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy. He went on to say that on some questions, cowardice asks, is a position safe? Expediency asks, is a position politic? Vanity asks, is a position popular? But that something deep inside called conscience asks, is a position right? So he often talked about sometimes we must take positions that are neither safe nor popular nor politic, but we must take those positions because our conscience tells us they're right.
President Jimmy Carter walked solemnly past President Obama without a glance in his direction. He said Martin Luther King would be displeased with much of what's going on today. He listed a string of current events that he said would have spurred King to action.
It's not enough to have a right to sit at a lunch counter if you can't afford to buy a meal. And he also said the ghetto still looks the same even from the front seat of a bus. Perhaps the most challenging statement of Martin Luther King Jr. was, and I quote, "The crucial question of our time is how to overcome oppression and violence without resorting to oppression and violence." In the Nobel Prize ceremony of 2002, I said that my fellow Georgian was, and I quote again, "the greatest leader that my native state and perhaps my native country has ever produced." And I was not excluding presidents and even the founding fathers when I said this. I believe we all know how Dr. King would have reacted to the new ID requirements to exclude certain voters, especially African Americans. I think we all know how Dr. King would have reacted to the Supreme Court striking down a crucial part of the Voters' Rights Act just recently passed overwhelmingly by Congress. I think we all know how Dr. King would have reacted to unemployment among African Americans being almost twice the rate of white people, and for teenagers at 42%. I think we would all know how Dr. King would have reacted to our country being awash in guns, and for more and more states passing Stand Your Ground laws. I think we know how Dr. King would have reacted for people of District of Columbia still not having full citizenship rights. And I think we all know how Dr. King would have reacted to have more than 835,000 African-American men in prison, five times as many as when I left office, and with one-third of all African-American males being destined to be in prison in their lifetimes. Well, there's a tremendous agenda ahead of us, and I'm thankful to Martin Luther King Jr. that his dream is still alive. Thank you.
And while many waited for the first black president to speak on the 50th anniversary of King's I Have a Dream speech, it was the words of John Lewis which stands out for many. Freedom rider turned congressman, Representative Lewis from Georgia has always been at the vanguard of progressive social movements and the human rights struggle in the U.S. Here he is at the gathering in Washington yesterday afternoon at the Lincoln Memorial in honor of Martin Luther King.
50 years later, we can ride anywhere we want to ride. We can stay where we want to stay. Those signs that said white and colored are gone, and you won't see them anymore. Except in a museum, in a book, on a video. But there's still invisible signs, barriers in the hearts of humankind that form a gulf between us. Too many of us still believe our differences define us instead of the divine spark that runs through all of human creation. The scars and stains of racism still remain deeply embedded in American society. whether it is stop and frisk in New York or injustice in the Trayvon Martin case in Florida. The mass incarceration of millions of American immigrants hiding in fear in the shadow of our society, unemployment, homelessness, poverty, hunger, or the renewed struggle for voting rights. So I said to each one of us today, we must never ever give up. We must never ever give in. We must keep the faith and keep our eyes on the prize. We did go to jail, but we got a Civil Rights Act. We got a Voting Rights Act. We got a Fair Housing Act. But we must continue to push. We must continue to work. As the late A. Philip Randolph said, the organizer of the march in 1963. And the dean of the Civil Rights Movement once said, we may have come here on different ships, but we all are in the same boat now. So it doesn't matter whether we're black or white, Latinos, Asian American or Native American, whether we are gay or straight, we are one people, we are one family, we all live in the same house, not just American house, but the world house. And when we finally accept these truths, then we will be able to fulfill Dr. King's dream to build a beloved community, a nation and a world at peace with itself. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to some of the speeches from the MLK anniversary yesterday at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. You heard Forrest Whitaker, Martin Luther King III, President Jimmy Carter, Oprah Winfrey, and Representative John Lewis. I'm Linda Perry for WBAI in New York.